The presidential election has refocused attention on drug abuse in America. Bob Dole is pledging a new war on drugs, waged with the help of the military if necessary. President Clinton says federal money for prisons will be tied to states developing drug testing and treatment programs for ex-felons. Both campaigns are focusing mainly on an upsurge in young people's use of marijuana, heroin, and cocaine. But a bill passed yesterday by the Senate would increase penalties for the illegal manufacture of a drug found in many over-the-counter cold and allergy medications. Experts say methamphetamine, also known as speed or crank, has emerged as a serious problem in the West, and it's heading east. NPR's Renee Montaigne reports from Los Angeles.
It's dawn at the Goodnight Inn, one of the many motels lining this stretch of the freeway an hour inland from the coast. Special Agent Craig Hammer of the California Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement is peering into room 139, explaining that local police got a call a couple of hours earlier from the motel manager about some suspicious activity in one of the rooms.
And their patrol officers came here and found three parolees in this motel room. And they have a methamphetamine laboratory inside that was in a briefcase, a large expandable briefcase, which is one of the things they can carry the smaller labs around in. And they're basically portable, but everything is there to indicate methamphetamine production.
The three suspects have been taken to jail, but their expandable briefcases snap smartly open on the desk in room 139. Police in Protective Paper Booties inventory the portable lab, now spread out on the motel room floor. Red Devil lye and acetone and red phosphorus and an assortment of other caustic, cancer-causing, and explosive chemicals that police and narcotics agents have learned to be wary of. Narcotics authorities say as of July, in these two counties east and north of Los Angeles alone, known jointly as the Inland Empire, they have busted over 400 labs. Abel Reynosa is a special agent with the Los Angeles Office of the Drug Enforcement Administration.
It equates to about a lab every 19 hours or so, every 15 to 19 hours. That's a lot of labs. I mean, they're continuous. It's a nonstop. I mean, they're seizing labs not only in the rural areas, they're also... There's a whole culture that right now is operating out of motel rooms and hotel rooms.
And just in the last few years, these mom-and-pop meth labs have been joined by much larger assembly line operations, hidden in barns and basements and operated by sophisticated Mexico-based operations. Narcotics agents say the desert area east of Los Angeles is the center of meth production. What Colombia is to cocaine, they say the Inland Empire is to crank. Yet the problem of methamphetamine has long been an invisible one, mostly because speed has been in vogue among a population group that gets very little attention from the media, social services, and even law enforcement, rural working-class whites. Crank's identification with this group is so thorough that here in California, speed was long ago dubbed the poor white man's cocaine, or the biker drug. Substance abuse expert Richard Rawson is executive director of Matrix Center, which has drug treatment programs throughout Southern California.
Motorcycle gangs, the Hells Angels, have been associated with methamphetamine production, trafficking, and use for a long time. And blue-collar workers, truck drivers, people who need to increase their alertness and who need the stimulant effect to work long hours and work hard. What we're seeing in the last couple of years is a much more broad use by a much broader part of the population, young people. It's in the high schools in some areas of the country, people in urban centers. It's available in clubs and bars where it had never been available before.
And narcotics agents say that this drug that got its street name crank because it was often stashed in the crankcase of a biker's motorcycle is now being marketed in the systematic way that crack was during the 1980s, carried from area to area, say narcotics officials, through sophisticated drug-running networks, mostly, again, based in Mexico. With crack, they say, it was mostly black gangs in inner cities targeting blacks. Crank, they say, is being peddled by whites and Hispanics to whites and Hispanics in suburbs, small towns, and the countryside from California to Kansas.
Meth has taken over. Methamphetamine has virtually displaced cocaine in our area.
Physician Alex Stahlkup runs a treatment center in the Rolling Hills east of San Francisco. He says the meth being manufactured today is on the order of 10 times more potent than the speed of old. It can be snorted or smoked as well as shot up. It's cheap, and it has acquired the ability to produce a rush, that immediate and intense feeling of euphoria long associated with heroin and more recently with rock cocaine or crack. And it is the rush that will get you, says Chuck. Chuck is still shaky about his ability to stay away from crank 5 months into treatment at a Matrix center in the Inland Empire. Chuck describes a downward slide that began when he allowed a girlfriend to acquaint him one night with the rush of a methamphetamine high.
Okay, if you can take every pleasurable thing that you've ever felt in your life, if you can take everything and intensify it by 100% and have it hit you all at once, that's what it's like. I mean, if you can figure, like, if I'm going to say this, having an orgasm, drinking that great drink of wine, having all these, the most pleasurable things you could ever have hit you within 1 second all at once, that's how it is. Your whole body explodes, your whole mind explodes, your heart explodes. It's the most intense feeling that you've ever had. That's why you always want to do it again, because you want to feel that one last time.
But, says Chuck, you never, ever do. The very real pleasure, says treatment expert Alex Stahlkup, is quickly offset by pain in the form of paranoia, anxiety, depression, and physical damage. The drug combined with lack of sleep can wreak havoc on the immune system. Add in the problem of overdosing on this more potent methamphetamine, say experts, and you get some harrowing statistics. In the Phoenix area, federal figures show that 122 people died from methamphetamine use in 1994, compared to only 20 2 years earlier. In Los Angeles, speed-related deaths tripled during that period, as did nationally speed-related visits to hospital emergency rooms. The number one cause of drug overdoses in San Diego is now methamphetamine. Because most users are in the suburbs and thinly populated deserts around these cities, Dr. Stahlkup calls what's happening now with meth a rural epidemic, with the potential of the urban epidemic of crack in the 1980s.
It is almost a twin sister to crack. They're both stimulant drugs. Their main mechanism of action is through the dopamine pathway in the pleasure system. The high and the use patterns are very similar. The classic pattern of stimulant use is called the binge pattern, in which people essentially go on 2, 3, 4, 5, and in the case of methamphetamine, we see people 10 and 15 day periods of time in which they use the drug around the clock. No sleep, very little food. The drug takes over.
23-year-old Mel Teeter knows about that. On the day I meet him, he's been off methamphetamine for exactly 8 days, dedicated to kicking a habit that began when he was 15. Mel offers to take me to one of his old haunts, a place, he says, where we can find someone getting a speed rush, or tweaking, as addicts call it. It's a trailer park in a desert town an hour outside of Los Angeles.
This trailer park, we call it Tweakerville, because everybody there in that trailer park is doing speed. You see their kids running around in just their diapers, no shoes, no nothing. They don't care. Nobody there works. They're all on welfare or whatever, and they get paid. They get that on the first of the month, every first of the month. You go there on the first of the month, that whole trailer park is jumping. Everybody's up, everybody's partying, everybody's doing speed for like 2 weeks.
Today, not being the first of the month, most everyone Mel Teeter knows is either asleep or out, except for 21-year-old Benjamin Gonzalez, who has just embarked on a typical speed-fueled binge.
And how long can you stay up and keep going?
Oh, for 7, 8 days.
And then what happens at the end of that?
I start feeling I'm real tired, I can't take it anymore, so I just go to bed for 2 or 3 days straight.
All those days on speed, with no sleep, says Benny Gonzalez, do bring on a powerful form of paranoia. It's standard with methamphetamine use. Benny Gonzalez is a bit too jittery today from the meth he's just smoked to delve deeply into its effects. He doesn't recall ever feeling violent. Mel Teeter looks back on his own binging days with Benny from the vantage point of sobriety and remembers it differently. Teeter says he always kept a shotgun stashed in his car or under the bed because he says the very shadows seemed to be after him and everyone seemed to want his meth. And his paranoia brought out some tendencies, he says, he didn't even know he had.
Me and a couple others, we've gotten scary.
Like the time a new guy came to town and started bragging that he was a big-time meth dealer. So Mel Teeter and his friends cooked up a scheme to set up a buy and then rob him.
We planned on jacking him. We told him, well, we want this much speed and all that. You come deliver it, this and that. Well, he came, but he came with a bunch of guys, and my friends were late, and it was only me, okay? And I didn't know what to do, so I let him go. And so we got paranoid, thinking, oh, no, this guy knows that we're going to jack him. So we set up, and we honestly planned on getting rid of him. Or I should say, you know, to get rid of him. That's how scary we got. All of us, you know, because, you know, I just tripped and told them, hey, that he knows something's up. He knows that we're going to do this. We need to get rid of this guy. We need to do something about him.
Mel Teeter says now with great relief that he and his friends dropped the plan as soon as they all came down. But the world of crank is rife with even more terrible tales. The man who stole a National Guard tank and crashed it through the streets of San Diego last year before being shot dead by police was high on meth. A New Mexico man high on speed got it into his mind that his teenage son was a demon and beheaded him. And drug counselor Alex Stalkup recently gave expert testimony at a trial of a man who decapitated his girlfriend for no apparent reason 4 days into a speed binge. Stalkup agrees with other drug experts that today's more powerful meth creates addicts easily as violent as those who use crack.
These are violence-inducing drugs. It's not a side effect. It is a direct effect of the drug. These drugs both imitate adrenaline in the body, and the new research, brand new research, shows that both cocaine and methamphetamine cause the body to produce massive amounts of adrenaline circling around in your system. It's the fight or flight hormone. It makes you ready to fight or it makes you ready to run. And so these drugs, as you use them over time, create a psychological state in which people feel hypervigilant. They imagine things to be going badly. They experience paranoia, impending doom, threat. And at the same time, they're experiencing overexcitement, overstimulation, irritability, and the combination makes people aggressive and mean.
The Drug Enforcement Administration warns that speed has already moved far from its West Coast roots. Iowa is one place it's taken hold in a big way. A few years ago, most Iowans would have drawn a blank at the word crank. But last year, police in Des Moines seized methamphetamines worth $4.5 million. And a recent state survey found that Iowa's sheriffs overwhelmingly named methamphetamine as the state's biggest drug problem. Methamphetamine is still a negligible problem on the East Coast, but drug officials say that if present migration patterns continue, it won't be for long. In Los Angeles, I'm Renee Montaigne.